today. So why don't you join me as we welcome this man all the way from Umma here in Nigeria, West Africa. Let's put our hands together and make Pastor Jerry Eze feel welcome. God bless you as you take the platform. Let's sit back and listen.
People of God, don't forget your kairos. Don't forget prophecies. Don't forget crises. Don't forget transitions. And do not forget impartation. And people of God, we are shifting into our opportunities in this season. Declare again and say, I am shifting into my opportunities. Hallelujah. Your opportunities are tailor-made. Hallelujah. Your opportunities are going to come big. Hallelujah. Your opportunities are empowered by the Holy Ghost. Your opportunities, they are not flashes in the pan. Hallelujah. Your opportunities will not fade with time and seasons. Hallelujah. Your opportunities will not be hijacked by the enemy. Hallelujah. Your opportunities will not be like a candle in the wind that is blown off when it is needed. Hallelujah. Declare again, I am shifting into my opportunities. Declare again, I am shifting into my opportunities. People of God, please let me repeat again. When you see prophecies, remember an opportunity is being birthed. When God allows a man who is a carrier of grace to come around you, an opportunity is being birthed because of impartation. Whenever you see crisis, we are that generation that is not afraid of crisis. When we see crisis, we know opportunity is right there.
Pastor Jerry Eze is the dynamic founder and president of the fast-growing Streams of Joy International. A seasoned pastor and leader, a consummate conference speaker and leadership coach, the work of ministry has taken him to major platforms around the world. Pastor Jerry is also the author and publisher of the Streams of Joy Daily Devotional and a bestseller that has made its way into five continents on the globe. He loves God passionately and is truly evident in his ministry.
And I want to say another very big thank you to the great man of God, Pastor Shola, and your very dear wife for yet an opportunity to bring God's word to God's people again in the season of our supernatural shift. And I want to let everyone under the sound of my voice realize that there is a move of God spreading across nations. There is a move of God that is upturning systems. There is a move of God that is truncating structures that are against your shift in the season. And all that God requires of you today is to align yourself with the prophetic calendar of what he is making happen in this season. Now, I'm sure that you are aware that it's either a man is operating with the Gregorian calendar or the man is operating with the prophetic calendar. The will of God for your life, the agenda of heaven concerning your destiny, the entire fullness of the glory of God is encapsulated in the prophetic agenda of God concerning your life. Now, the deception of the enemy is when he causes you to focus on the Gregorian calendar. When you watch the times and seasons and you begin to ask yourself, from what the time is given me, how is it ever possible that I can become who God says I will become, reach and of course exceed the milestones that I am in or God has raised for me or I have actually raised for myself. But the truth of the matter is we are in a season and all that God is saying is that I have made boundless opportunities available for you. But then again, it is up to you to seize the opportunity. It is up to you to rise against the adversaries of your opportunity. People of God, how I know an opportunity is from God, is the battle you face with that opportunity. It's the battle you face before that opportunity. It's the battle you face when the signs of that opportunity begins to show up. Apostle Paul says, a great and effectual door has been opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. If it is a great door, expect adversary. If it is a great door, expect adversity. The sign of a great door is the number of adversaries or adversities attached to it. Can I say it again? A big sign of a great door is the number of adversaries or adversities attached to it. I'm afraid you call it a great door and it came on a platter of gold. Look well again and ask yourself, is it an average door or is it a great door? All through the scriptures, the devil never fought anything that didn't threaten it. Now, can I say it one more time? The devil never fought anything that didn't threaten it. And I am here today to lift my voice against the adversaries and the adversities of your opportunity and the adversaries and the adversities of your supernatural shift. Enough is enough of your handing over what belongs to you to the enemy. Enough is enough of your abdicating your spiritual responsibilities to the accuser of our brethren. Enough is enough of your running away from your assignment just because you want to patronize the words of the wicked against you. Enough is enough of accepting who you are not in order to dance to the tune and the rhythm of the wicked one against you. I came to announce to you, Hamaduka, from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and only the violent will take it by force. I am here to announce to you that when you become restless, and another scripture say when you can't take it anymore, you will break the yoke off your neck. And so you are not wrong if you say, Pastor Jerry, are we dealing with adversaries tonight? You are correct. For the God of peace have put Satan under our feet. And tonight is about enforcement. Tonight is about drawing the line and letting the devil know this far and no farther. And today is about announcing to the kingdom of hell, there's a baby on our inside. He calls Anteleka. Habalekaza. Habasa. He's about letting the devil know there is a destiny that we carry. We cannot abort this baby. We cannot abort the agenda of God. We cannot miscarry purpose. We cannot miscarry focus. We cannot miscarry eternal deposit that are on our inside. Somebody screams, said the devil is a liar. I need you to thunder it louder and scream from the bottom of your belly and say, the devil is a liar. For it was a mandate that he gave Amatosi, and he said, I've given you dominion. For the Bible says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And so whenever there is a building, he could have said, there is an onslaught of an attack. He said, I will build my church. Please be mindful. He did not say the gate of hell will not fight. The gates of hell will fight, but he says the gates of hell will not prevail. And so when God is building your spirit man, I want you to watch around the corner. There is a hydra headed demon that is trying to launch an attack. When God is beginning to build your future, I'm afraid to let you know that there is a leviathan somewhere that wants to scuttle the plan of God. But scream it again, say the gates of hell will not prevail. I feel like you should thunder it louder again. Say the gates of hell will not prevail. Scream it from the bottom of your belly again and say the gates of hell will not prevail. And people of God, I present to you Handokasa, a young man whose life was filled with a great opportunity of becoming. I present to you a young man who generations yet unborn, including my generation that is alive today, celebrates the mercy and the grace of God upon his life. I present to you a man, even though he lived in the old covenant, I saw a lot of the new covenant principles be made manifest in his life. Oh, Barakaza, this is a man that even in heaven, he is realized and he is still known. Even though many years ago, he lived and died a flawed man. And the question is, how did he maximize? How did he come to the threshold of becoming? How did his light suddenly bust out for the nations to recognize? In one of those landmark victories, in one of those landmark changes, in one of those historical moments that was going to be a watershed in his rising to become who God wants him to be, something really happened. Something was about to scuttle his opportunity. But again, we are going to diagnostically look at what wanted to rip him or tried to take away the opportunity of him and how he responded. When we look at these things that try to steal that opportunity of his becoming, it is the same thing till today that is trying to steal your divine opportunity. It is the same thing that is still trying to take away what God has given to you. Please, if you have your Bible, open the scripture to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 28. Now this was when David came and heard the Philistine named Goliath, and Goliath was screaming, Goliath was talking down on God's people, Goliath was intimidating everyone, Goliath was acting like he was God, Goliath was actually speaking words of fear into the soldiers of Israel, and the Bible says every one of them ran away. Nobody could stand Goliath. Every one of them went into hiding, and David went and started asking questions, and as soon as he showed up, the guy with a different oil, the man with a different mantle, the guy who saw what people call threat as an opportunity. And so he began to ask, and then he said, what shall be done to the man who is going to waste this guy, because it's nothing but a loaf of bread. I'm not a better still. A loaf of bread is better than this guy. I say, what shall be done? And people of God, the first thief of opportunity came. And I know that you are saying Goliath is the first adversity or adversary against David's opportunity of becoming. Can I bet to disagree with you? And that is, I'm not talking about Goliath. I'm going to talk about the first adversary or adversity against David's becoming. And we are going to look at seven things that this particular adversary represents. And I'm talking about no other person than who we are going to find in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 28. The Bible says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Can I read it one more time? And this was the spirit of Eliab. This was what I call the spirit of Eliab, the spirit that steals opportunity, the adversity against your shift. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Our Father, we ask, oh God, my deep, that you bring illumination to our spirit as we deal with adversaries and adversities against our opportunities, against our divine shift, against our rising, people of God. The Bible describes Eliab as soon as he showed up before David, that he came with anger. People of God, I know that you want me to point at your father's house as the first adversity. I know that you might probably think of me trying to expose one witch's coven as the first adversary or adversity. The first thing that Eliab showed up with was negative emotion. It was anger. Hando kozaka. Ahab, Eliab showed up with negative emotion. Do you know the first adversary and adversity you may have to deal with for the shift that is coming your way? It is negative emotion. Do you know there were seasons that God wanted to shift you prophetically? There were seasons that God wanted to shift you in career. He wanted to shift you in business. All of a sudden, emotion of fear came. All of a sudden, emotion of doubt came in. All of a sudden, emotion that does not represent the will of God concerning your life. You know why I am careful to speak about this adversity? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And why I am careful to speak about this is that every time the Spirit of God communicates with your spirit, it is transferred to your soul. And your soul is the seat of the emotions. He is the seat of your will. He's the seat of your desire. And if the devil wants to strike your emotions, he strikes your mind. He strikes your soul. He strikes your emotions. Don't you agree with me that you could have been more than you are if you threw away every negative emotion? Don't you agree with me that you could have risen beyond where you are if you threw away the emotion of lust? You invited demons that you did not need because of the emotions. Your emotions were like a magnet, magneting what you did not need. Hambaleka, can you rise on your feet wherever you are? Raise your right hand like you truly believe it and decree after me. Say, every negative emotion, declare it against it. Every negative emotion, I command you, die. Say, negative emotions, die. Say, negative emotions, die. Open your mouth and make it a prayer. Emotions of fear, emotions of doubt, emotions of depression, emotions of fear of the future, it is the spirit of Eliab. It is the spirit of Eliab. It is your first adversity. We command it. Disappear, 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 disappear in the name of Jesus. And people of God, the first adversary, the first adversity was the emotion. The Bible says the anger of Eliab was kindled. Hamanaka, negative emotion rose. In Kala, I pray for you in the season of your transition. Madakadaka, may your next season not be hijacked with negative emotion. Have you not seen in the scripture how emotions broke greatness from the lives of people? Did you see how the emotion of lust crippled the destiny of the great man called Samson? Do you see how the emotion of lust almost crippled the destiny of David and his lineage? And so you gotta let go of the nigga. The Bible says Eliab came with anger against David. I will not let negative emotions cripple what God is doing in my life. I will not let negative emotions hijack what the new season God is bringing me into. And people of God, it is important as we read again and we find out what Eliab said to David. And Eliab said, why camest thou down hither? And he says, why did you come here? Why did you come here? He said, why did you come here? And if you look at Ahab's explanation of why David came, it wasn't why David came. As far as he's concerned, stop talking about fighting Goliath. You are here to give us food. Stop talking about what matter that is bigger than you. You are nothing but an errand boy sent to your brothers who are soldiers on the battlefield. Can I say about the next adversity you gotta deal with? His adversity against your purpose. David was sent to work. He was sent on assignment. Go and give your brother food. Madaka, it was his father that sent him on that assignment. My father's assignment, my earthly father's assignment is not my purpose. And David says, my father sent me, but I'm going to decide and I'm going to discern my purpose in my assignment. Amalaka, in other words, David was simply trying to say it to the brother Eliab, my purpose is bigger than the way you're trying to define me. My purpose is bigger than how you're trying to describe me. My purpose is bigger than what you're trying to say. People of God, there is a battle against your purpose. There is a battle against your purpose. And when purpose is lost, every other thing turns to become a wishful thinking. And I came to say, he asked, Eliab asked, why? Why came us down here, Hida? I know why you came. You came just to see the battle. I know why you came. Didn't you just come to give us food? There is a battle against your